All right. Storytelling weaves in and out of our lives. Stories are all around us from our beginnings. Some in obvious and intentional ways, and others in subtle and internalized ways. Many of us are introduced to storytelling in the form of books. Some of us are read to from our beginnings. Our parents or our grandparents are significant caretakers. They take the time to seek out books that will support us, that will teach us, that will reflect their values to us. Some books illustrate our lives and show us community and ideas in pages and in pictures. Oftentimes these books are filled with words that are familiar and reinforce concepts. Moral concepts, values, and narratives. Storytelling comes in many forms. Maybe books weren't valued in your upbringing, and instead your family told tales around the dinner table or around the Christmas tree, Yule log, or menorah. Yarns were spun by grandpas and uncles and great grandmas or sisters, told the same way year after year with the same reactions and the same comments, reinforcing your values, reinforcing ideas, reflecting our stories back to us. Some of us may have relied on music for stories. Music tells stories and marks time. Music can document other people's tales and can often reflect and intertwine with our own. Music can uplift us or comfort us or keep our angry fires burning. Another common storytelling is in the form of movies and television or the media. Sometimes the media is just a supplement or enhancement to our already existing access to stories, and some of us are told stories by the media and it fills gaps in our narratives. Some of the gaps are left because adults around us fail us or are themselves too busy or consumed to share stories. So we rely on media as our main nourishment. Media can tell stories with moving pictures and movement and accurately and clearly reflect individuals back to us, our mirror images. Although in my personal life with media, I seldom see individuals that take the form of people that I love and admire and engage with, at least in any sort of empowering or positive light. So television and movies for me, and for some, so for some of us there are libraries. Sometimes we fall into that world that libraries can provide. Our bodies are cradled between the shelves and our minds are cradled between the pages. For me, libraries were a safe haven of both my youth emotionally and socially. Reading had always been something I could do easily and I genuinely enjoyed. Before I had my driving license and the ability to seek out people like me in real life, libraries were my connection to community. Libraries were a safe access to stories that I could choose to engage in or not. I could choose to check out or quietly and secretly just read in the corner with my frequent visits. For many of us, libraries are filled with stories that were free and that were ripe for the picking. But again, stories come in many forms and present in many ways. Perhaps the stories that resonated with you were the ones that we heard on the bus or in the lunchrooms or maybe in the locker rooms. Some of those stories could have been celebratory and empowering or degrading and harmful. That's the thing about stories, is they hold so much power. Stories are all around us and from a very early age. The power that stories possess is deep. They have the power to help us feel connected and strong and worthy. Stories can hold up mirrors reflecting beauty and worth. They can be rearview mirrors where we have been and where we come from. But the thing is with stories is they can also break us down. When we are constantly bombarded with stories that we do not see ourselves reflected in or identified in, it can be hurtful, it can be lonesome, and it can be disempowering. We can hear hurtful tales about folks like us that leave us feeling less than or wounded. Or we can search for stories that we can relate to only to find none. We do not see ourselves reflected back in narratives and stories over and over again. I believe that this can be very isolating. When I was a child, I had many stories around me. My mother read to me books aplenty, and my mama with glasses would read to me Jughead and Archie comics. We had lots of little golden books sprinkled all over the house, and we had lots of Bible stories. The nuns always had a story to tell me about naughty children and God's will, And the priest would drone on and on with unrelatable sermons that I knew in my little Catholic heart were so very important, yet so torturous to sit through. Music was also a storyteller in my life. My parents listened to country music, and many of those songs were three-minute stories, 3 minutes of life or love or loss, stories sprinkled with yonder and darlin' and twangy backdrops. So music and books surrounded me and comforted me. Stories were always around me. There was also my father. My father was a storyteller. My childhood is punctuated by his stories. His stories of holidays past, the magic elements that they possessed. He could go into great detail of the colors and the sounds, and oftentimes he would humor us with one of these positive reflections. I would listen as a kid, raptured. His stories were also oftentimes embarrassing moments replayed over and over, each time a little more embarrassing or entertaining, depending on what character was involved. Oftentimes the funniest things to him, often the funniest parts were punctuated by his smoky laugh. When prodded by questions or bourbon, some of the stories of his personal strife would bubble up. He would replay parts of his challenging upbringing, tales of project housing and shining shoes in the French Quarter, Salvation Army Christmases, and eventually a hard life at a church farm work camp for boys where he lived until he was an adult. On occasion, some half-said dark glimpses and some stories of wartime horror would just slip out, unintentional and shocking, oftentimes punctuated by that awkward silence and then pretending that we didn't hear it. Very much my family's way. So personal storytelling was modeled to me in a lot of different ways. When I was young and searching for folks like me, I read as much as I could. I read the stories of others. I read about Martina and Andy Warhol. I read as much as I could find about Liberace and Charles Nelson Reilly. I read all kinds of stories too. I was always interested in hearing people's stories, so I liked to read biographies. I read about Laura Ingalls, and I got lost in her world. I read all about Judy Blume, and I loved diving into each one of the characters. I read everything that Stephen King would dish out. War Days, War Horse, The Blue Man, Egg and Afro all kept me company when real human companionship did not. I also watched a great deal of TV. From an early age, I liked documentaries and after-school specials, stories that dove deep into people's lives. 2020, Sunday Morning, those were also favorites. Hindsight, I knew what I was doing. I was looking for folks like me. I was seeking out reflection. Folks a little left of center, queer folks, artists, marginalized creative types. I was searching for community and other people's stories because I was unable to find community with people around me. My profound loneliness as a child made these 3 minute or 300 page or 1.5 hour escapes lifelines. Any glimpse of someone like me made me feel less alone. Any peek into a story that I could relate to was like nourishment. So when I began to emerge as a transgender person I now embrace, I continued my quest. My coming out was right on the cusp of what I like to call the gender revolution. There were a few books and a few stories, less than 10 I would count. Patrick Califia, Leslie Feinberg, they spoke to me. A few others were sprinkled in and around. In the media, I had Boys Don't Cry, and later on Trans America, and a random Lisa Ling documentary or special. But I wanted more. I needed more. I needed stories, my insatiable appetite to listen and read and understand. So I started to tell my own story. I started to tell my story online, and I immediately found a community of people who had stories that I could easily weave into mine. It felt so satisfying to hear reflections and tales that resonated. It was satisfying for a moment, but for me, as in always, I needed real life. I had spent so much of my early life, and especially puberty, feeling very lonely and isolated, and I did not want that for myself anymore. So I created the locker room. We would gather on Friday nights and tell stories, fellas like me, men emerging. We would tell stories of our navigations from the bathrooms to the bedrooms, share and tell of other stories that we had heard that we would recommend to each other. It was this amazing once-a-month exchange of information and stories. As we grew closer, we went deeper, and it evolved and evolved again, all revolving around storytelling. So now I hear the stories and I see our stories. I know of more than 10 books. I know a few dozen. I know dozens of storytellers that share their narratives in engaging and entertaining ways. I know lots of folks who can bring me to my knees with laughter or heartbreak with their tales of living this transgender life. Stories like mine, stories that resonate with me and my journey now, stories that I can relate to and that are comforted by. I can relate the state of the transgender movement to how I emerged in the world as a lesbian. When I came out as a lesbian, there were more stories available. Ellen wasn't quite on the scene yet, but she would be soon. Martina was there, we had the Indigo Girls, Farron, Betty. I had a few old crones in my path who would sit a spell in my life and share their stories, the butch and femme dynamic in navigating women's rights and women's space, talking about navigating our plague and the liberation. The stuff that formed my identity as a lesbian, the lesbian oral history was there for me, and now I see the same emerging for my trans brothers and sisters. To me, storytelling is what's going to propel our movement forward. Sharing our narratives and giving ourselves by allowing honest peeks into how we navigate and who we are, I think this is the foundation of the trans movement. We have our own soundtrack with some awesome trans singers and songwriters, our books are growing, and online storytelling is fierce and engaging. Our stories are now just a Google away. When MTUG does trainings, we do a Trans 101. We share the language, the do's and the don'ts. We express the medical issues and the choices that some of us have. But I would argue that one of the most important things that we do is we share our stories. We open up vulnerably and we share our tales. We give the gift of our stories as they resonate with folks. Our stories are not all the same. Our movement is mighty and diverse. But one thing we have in common is the way that gender has played or plays a key part in our evolution and identity. This is where the revolution began and ends for me, sharing stories, opening up conversation. It's the place that I believe that all bridges can be built. Living in this smallest Midwestern town, I knew I was not going anywhere, and I felt like I had two choices. I could transition quietly at home, stay at home as much as possible, and emerge like Heimlich, a big, beautiful butterfly. Or I could choose to share my process, but for me, really, it wasn't much of a choice. When I came out as a lesbian, I met lesbians almost immediately. They were connected. It seemed like one lesbian generally had a few of her exes around, and then they were friends, and so on and so forth. So many stories and lots of narratives. But when I came out as trans, it was like a scene in a movie. I walked down on the street to proclaim who I am, and all I could see were tumbleweeds. I looked around for trans folks for about 6 years before I finally met my first transgender. And that meeting and hearing his story has changed the course of my life. His willingness to be vulnerable and share with me his story changed my life. His story gave me life. So to me, I know I need to be out loud, not to live a life, not to give life, but to be a beacon, what they call a possibility model. I've been surrounded by so much love and support in my transition, I knew it was my obligation to give it back. A possibility model. Sharing my story, testifying, letting folks know that you can live your life authentically, you can claim your space. I like sharing my stories. It makes me feel connected and in some ways less lonesome because I feel like sharing my story is reaching out, letting folks know that I'm here and that I want to engage and I want to share. And I'm always going to be here. If you tell me your story, I'll tell you mine. Thank you.